Based on that, let's get on to the campaign trail now. And we touch base with Dr. Mahamadou Bawumia, Alan Tremantin, John Mahama, Nana Kwame Bediako, who are all busily on the ground trying to win the hearts and minds of voters. So let's start with the NDC presidential candidate, John Dramani Mahama. And he has for the first time addressed the majority's second petition to recall parliament. Speaking during his tour of the Western region, he reiterated the party's chairman's position that the MPs will not return to parliament until after the elections. He said, with just a few days to the polls, the NDC's focus remains on the campaign, saying the MPP MPs can proceed to parliament without the NDC's participation. Maxwell Agbagba has more in this report.
On the second day of his tour of the Western region, John Mahama visited Dempo, Hunter West, Jomoro, Lembele and Takwa constituencies. In the Lembele constituency, he went all out correcting what he described as lies put out by the NPP. John Mahama responded to President Akufo-Addo's claims that he cannot sustain the 24-hour economy with the Dumso legacy, stressing that at the time he handed over power, Dumso had ended.
I expect that when MPP is telling lies, they'll leave it to the younger ones and the junior ones to do. But when the senior ones like Nana Akufo-Addo says that Dumso was not solved before we came, I heard him say that we could not keep the lights on. How can we run 24-hour economy? In 2016, Dumso had been solved. Nobody's lights went off in 2016. From January to December to the following January, when we handed over to Nana Akufo-Addo, he should bear truth. They came, he was Minister of Education at the time, that they came and paid a debt of 30 million Ghana cedis, free SHS debt from our administration. So if you say we didn't start free SHS, how did you come and pay 30 million Ghana cedis, free SHS debt? That's why I say liars will not go to heaven and liars will be destroyed. It's in the Bible. When we come, we'll continue the second phase of the Ghana gas. And that is going to bring more jobs to this area so that our young people can get some to do. And those jobs are going to be 24-hour economy jobs. And Aminia, Deputy Majority Leader.
He criticized the NPP for pushing for the recall of parliament 12 days before an election. He stated that the NPP could proceed, but the NDC would not be part of it.
Now, say almost say, Omon Pene, say, yeah, majority.
They said they will not agree that we are the majority. Just let us finish voting. When you see the parliamentary results, you know we are the majority. Now they want parliament to be recalled for deliberations. Just 12 days to the elections. They say we should stop campaigning and come to parliament. If they like, they should go. But the NDC will not go to parliament. After we finish voting and we see their smoothness level, then we will open parliament for all of us to go.
Yeah, two abani ye na omu hu omu smoothness level and honey a baby parliament to name in Nayako.
John Mahama also accused the MPP of working to change the history of Ghana, adding that the future NDC government will protect the legacy of Dr. Kwame Nkrumah.
That when NDC comes into power, the revisionism that has taken place to reduce the role of Kwame Nkrumah in Ghana's independence, we will review it and bring him back to prominence. Every revolutionary struggle or every struggle for independence, many people take part. But there is one person who gives the critical spark that contributes to achieving the objective that the many want to achieve. And that person often is the founder of that nation. So when you go to Tanzania, many people contributed in the fight for independence. But if you talk about the founder of Tanzania, everybody will tell you it's Julius Nyerere.
Well, news coming indicates that the Speaker of Parliament, Alban Bagbin, has written to the Majority Leader, Alexander Afenyomakin, that he is unable to recall the House because members of Parliament are campaigning in their various constituencies. He says the elections is part of the work of Parliament, and therefore he cannot recall the House in this moment when MPs are campaigning, and that the House will be reconvened after the elections. We'll bring you details of that particular letter from the Speaker in our subsequent bulletins. But to the camp of the MPP, where President Nanado Dankwa-Akufo-Addo has denied allegations of lying his way into power. According to him, issues of unstable power supply and slow economic growth, which were main campaign messages, remain factual. The president further reiterated that the country's economy is making a turnaround. Nanaya Ajima was with the president touring part of the Asante region and has found this report.
President's speech at the inauguration of the newly constructed bridge at Atafua in the Bantama constituency was characterized by political jabs.
One of the most consequential decisions that Ghanaians are going to make in this generation is a decision that is going to be made on the 7th of December. And we are being told the senior citizens of this country to keep out of that matter. We will not keep out of it. We will not keep out of it.
The president emphasized his campaign to unseat the former president, John Mahama, was based on facts, contrary to opinions expressed by the opposition.
He's saying that in 2016, I came to power, I came to office by telling lies to the Ghanaian people. What are the lies I told? Dumso was my making. I lied about Dumso. Did I lie about the 3.4% sluggish rate of growth in Ghana at the time? Were all these lies created by Nanado Dankwa-Akufo-Addo? All these were lies. They were hard facts. But he's trying to find a way to excuse himself for his abysmal failure in 2016. He should find another thing, another story to tell.
He further emphasized the country's economy has been turned around following a dip in the time of COVID-19 pandemic.
The last quarter of the year, the rate of growth of Ghana's GDP was 6.9%, double what it was when he was leaving office in 2016. This is after all the difficulties. Our economy is beginning to pick up.
For joining us, Nanaya Ajima Kumasi.
I want to invite.
Well, Chairman of the Bono East Regional Peace Council, Reverend Prince Owusu Aseku, has called on the people of the region, particularly the youth, to help in ensuring that the 2024 presidential and parliamentary elections are held in a peaceful manner. He made this appeal at a stakeholder engagement in Tichman South, which is one of the 36 constituencies selected as hotspots nationwide. Anna Sabit has more.
Two of 11 Bono East constituencies, Tichman South and Atibwa Mountain, have been identified amongst some 36 critical hotspots nationwide as places where electoral violence could erupt during the December 2024 parliamentary and presidential elections. The National Peace Council, as part of efforts aimed at preventing a repeat of the 2020 Tichman South shooting incident that claimed two lives, held a stakeholder sensitization workshop in Tichman. Reverend Prince also secures the regional chairman of the National Peace Council.
We organized this consultative dialogue for 26 constituencies that had troubles during the last elections. So this is the Tichman South program. Just for the media, the politicians, the security stakeholders to at least dialogue so as to have the peace that we're looking for in the coming election.
Reverend Prince Osa Seku expressed worry at the fact that Tichman has been tagged as a hotspot and noted that the Peace Council, despite logistical challenges, is working towards ensuring that the December 7 is peaceful.
It's a very disheartening for a constituency in your region to be tagged a flashpoint or whatever. But all budget to education. We abuse what we can. It's like, we are handicapped. We should have gone to all the districts and mediate so that they will live peacefully in the region for us to develop. So it's needful, but we lack logistics to operate.
He's, however, confident that the 2024 general elections will be entirely peaceful and cautioned the youth not to allow themselves to be used as tools for causing mayhem.
If you have been hired to cause trouble, please desist, because whoever hired you will be sleeping comfortably in his house whilst you are behind bars. So everybody should be law-abiding so as to... We need every hand on deck to move the vessel of the nation.
Metropolitan EC Director William Apori, who is one of the key stakeholders at the workshop, outlined some key steps taken by the Commission to ensure peaceful polls, and this includes educating the public about electoral matters.
We have tried and started with engaging and sensitizing CSOs, the media, and other very important institutions. And so far, I think the reports coming in has been very positive. There were a lot of things that people didn't know were wrong, especially with the media. And whilst we did the engagement, they attested to the fact that indeed they have learned so much.
Nana Yebua Shema is the acting queen mother of the Techiman Traditional Council. She highlighted some effects of conflicts and noted that women and children are the most affected during electoral violence and appealed to electorates to ensure that the process is entirely peaceful.
Namba isu e ubede adwane udwane kura a wo manti untimi nwane nti mesre se e manti mo mabasabasa ye bia emma
ana sabit Joy News Techiman.
And starting today, we are beginning a series we have titled The Unheard Voices. We will be speaking to presidential candidates whose campaign messages are not being heard that much because either they do not have the resources or the media has simply shut them out, or possibly due to their own campaign strategy. Which of them is the reason for which that is happening, we'll get to know. Now, apart from the NDC's John Mahama, NDC's Dr. Bawumia, and to some extent, Nana Kwame Bediako and Alan Kwadwo Chiramanteng, almost all the other candidates do not enjoy enough visibility in the media to win the hearts and minds of voters, yet have great ideas that can enrich decision-making on election day. Today, we start by giving them a voice, starting with Christian Kobina Andrews, leader and presidential candidate of the Ghana Union Movement, GUM. Now, I bet you've seen a difference between how the 2020, you know, campaigning went for GUM and how the 2024 is going. You might want to ask yourself, why is that the case? Today we have the man himself in the house to speak to, popularly known as Sofo Chirabosum. Good afternoon and great to have you here.
Yes.
But why don't we hear from you, first of all?
We have been campaigning.
Okay.
But we have changed our mode of campaigning.
Okay.
The style. In the beginning, when you were coming to the scene, that people were not aware of GUM, that we need to go out all over the country for people to get to know us. And now most of us are aware of GUM already. We happen to be the third position
at
2020 election. Now, it is time for us to continue to campaign, and we have changed the style. In the beginning, during the 2020 election, where you were having COVID-19 and the others, that you couldn't even give us time to campaign so much. So we visited some chiefs and the others. And because we choose the prominent ones, the chiefs, just to visit, that people make news out of that. And right now, because we are doing house-to-house campaigning, where we meet people at the market places, and even they are at the road to their farm and the others. That's why journalists are not getting us there, because okay. You people are not on the road when they are going to their farm. We are gradually campaigning, and these people are just massing. All these people, they just take some buses and they bus them, camp them somewhere to just make propaganda for people to get to know that they have followers. So if you continue to gather all your eggs and settle at the one place for people to get to know that you have members, this doesn't prove that you are going to win the election. So definitely, those who are going to vote for Gumtu are there waiting for the voting period to vote for us. As far as I'm concerned, we are campaigning.
Okay, and are they buying your messages?
Excellent. Especially the old age benefits, as we have been giving to the people, that we've been telling them that, we see, even if we, per chance, didn't come to power, any government who will come to power need to adopt that very policy. The old age benefit, definitely everyone will benefit. Because you are 1060, whether you are a farmer or maybe cassava seller, definitely at the end of the month, you get something from the government. I keep on asking myself, what are the benefits of even voting for our leaders in this country?
Okay.
They are not giving anything back to the people that vote for them. They just come out and tell us that, we have built a road, we have an overpass here, and then we have got a loan for a school in the bushes and the others. Let's come to our main life. You see, you look at people who are living in poverty. None of these leaders seems to think about these people. You see, head of a family come to take charge of the whole family. Then he go to a bank and collected a loan and come and build a family house. And you tell me that you came and helped the family. In what means? You didn't bring anything from anywhere, but you left us a debt. NDC and MPP are doing these things. Instead of them looking for some thing from somewhere, treasure for somewhere to help this very country, when they come, they just go to IMF, they go to foreign countries, other banks to collect a loan. Then when they get the loan, they bring the loan to us. Then they put up just schools, affordable houses in bushes, and also maybe spending lavishly. Then they leave us a debt. And when they go, they will tell Ghanaians that we came and we helped Ghana. What did you do to help us? Our pockets are dry. We don't have anything. Ends meet are very difficult to get. Then you are telling me that you are coming to help this country. So these two parties, I don't know why people are following them, but you see, the youths are not aware of the things that we went through.
Okay.
We have seen NDC before. When Mama came to power, a child was 3 years. Mama left the power, the child became 11.
Yeah.
You see?
Yeah.
And now 7 years in the Akufo-Addo's time, is now 18, it's 14.
Yeah.
So a 3-year child, 4-year child, 5-year child, don't know anything.
Yeah.
So right now, if you are following them, it is because the youth are not aware what transpired in the era of NDC.
Okay.
Or even the beginning of this 2016. Come to think of this free education that they are campaigning with. My man, let's ask yourselves. MPP came, somebody was in the university, in SS3. He got a free education. He continued. Now, what is he doing? There's no work for the person. Even 2016, 4 years, the child was able to complete it. And even now, he completed university for another 4 years. For your 8 years period, the child is now roaming about looking for work. So what are you people doing? They are not helping this country. But Gum, we are prepared to come and revamp the factories that have been abandoned in the bushes. And Nkrumah's factories, whereby we were having our Saidi factory, Palgu tomato factory, Kumasi shoe factory, Bongasanga meat factory, Bonsa ties, Aveime, here and there. You see, tomato factory in Wenchi and the others. All these things were there. We were producing them. But now, it's nowhere to be found. But
do you know their current state and what it would take for us to revive all those?
In natural sense, even if the land is just there, we can still put something there.
Okay.
Now, let's look at somebody using $43 million to clear Odo River. How much is $43 million? $2 million can put a factory, with machines included. And somebody using it to clear this Odo River. Are we all right? You see, they are just misusing, spending our money lavishly. Look at a decision of Bahumia, who's he called himself to be a candidate for MPP. Good for oil. Did you reason well? Going for oil, put in your V8, takes just a month, it's gone. Why can't you use the gold for an aeroplane, which will be in existence for our generation to come?
But they did that at a point where they realized that the city was not stabilizing against the dollar. And so they explained that the best option was to use your gold, which is quite stable.
I don't think you are part of the administration.
I'm only asking
based on what they told us. That's what they told you.
Yeah.
But you were having petrol. Petrol was not a shortage in this country. You were buying your petrol every day. And when all this gold for oil came to, petrol was not reduced. It's rather increasing.
Okay.
You understand? We have our own distant petrol here. Mm. We cannot mine ourselves. We bring somebody.
We don't refine.
We don't refine. We need to refine them. Mm. And Nkrumah gave us refinery. And look at what has happened. We just abandoned them. And you come out to tell me that I'm selling my gold for an oil.
Mm.
Eh? When they brought the oil, a farmer didn't get any oil. They didn't get any benefits.
They got indirectly because
why
fuel prices affect the cost of
fuel prices.
That's where your argument works. Yes,
they keep on increasing.
Mm.
So me, for instance, I just want to tell Ghanaians, to be frank, these two parties are misleading us.
Okay,
as far as this country is concerned, that you two are listening to me, they should just revive and change their mindset on these very two parties. They have nothing to offer us. They are just coming to take our booty and just leave us and go. Look at the money, the loans that they have collected, everything. Just check it and see. I said we are going to give Ghanaian youth 10 Ghana, 100 Ghana city, 10,000 Ghana city each for the youth beginning from 20 years. To 55 years.
Every month?
No, once.
Okay.
We are going to give it to them as a seed capital.
10,000 cedis.
10,000 cedis. Now, these people are asking, why, Pastor, where are you going to get this money? 10,000 Ghana cedis to the youth between this very 20 years to that. Eh? Now, let's see. An MP getting a V8 of $150,000. Divide $150,000 to the youth of this country, 10,000 Ghana cedis each. About 240 people will get one MP's car. One MP's car money can cover about 240 people.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Multiply it by 275. Let's check how many youth will get 10,000 Ghana cedis each as a seed capital.
Okay.
We get most of the youth will enjoy that. And we just invested in maybe in farming, or maybe any other thing, that whereby we are going to open the free port, where the Burkina Faso people and those from the other areas will come into the country. The country will be very busy. Whilst the youth are using these very 10 Ghana cedis in buying and selling, and at the same time, we too, we are on it, putting up these very factories. So definitely we can change this very country by bringing this very youth on board. If you keep on saying we have a debt, who is going to help us to clear the debt? The youth are not working. None of them are working. Those people are working at the Joy News here. They are living on these very wages.
Going by your...
You are doing the calculation.
Yes, you are doing it properly. Going by your promise, we have an adult population around 24.6 million
good
people. If you multiply by the 10,000, that is 246 billion cedis.
So very good.
That's how much?
246 billion, billion cedis. Yes, convert it to dollars.
246.
You convert. I'm giving you a work today to do now.
Yeah, that's
convert to the dollars and see how much are you going to get. You see, 246
billion. 246
billion. When you convert to dollars, then you come back to and tell me that we can do it.
Let's say we choose the dollar to be around 16.
Yes.
Cedis. That will be $15 billion.
Very good.
$375 million.
Now, $15 billion.
Yeah.
You understand? When they went in and collected this
$3 billion.
$3 billion.
From the IMF.
From IMF. Huh? When you go to Cocoa Board, they collected $4.6 billion for dollars for the Cocoa Board.
Yeah, syndicated loan.
Syndicated loan.
You mean, yeah.
They collected this very money.
That's for Cocoa.
And now they are saying they are running into debt. See, nothing came out of it. Now, when you go to a COVID-19 fund, we collected 4.6. We don't know where the money went up. When you go to this, you see, all this money that they are giving to themselves, when you bring them to them, we can even give to the youth. Quick. Start something.
And 1,000
you understand?
This each.
So 10,000 even each. The youth cannot, all of you cannot get it at once. For the first year, half of them can get it. Then they said they can start doing something with it. So our main idea is that we need to resource the youth. We need to resource them so that they too can be on their feet.
So you give them 10,000 cedis to do what? Set up their businesses?
Yeah, start business. Start just like a farming. You can start crop farming. All this very, the Ramsey site where the river has been polluted. You see, you allow them to go there and cultivate maybe this garden eggs, tomato. You export them. The government will buy them, okra and the pepper. Now even onions, we import them into our country, even okra from Nigeria. You understand? What the youth are just idling because they don't have any land to cultivate all these things. They don't have money to go into farming. You see, all these years, those of us who paid for school fees are roaming about. They don't have any work to do. Then you are adding more of those who didn't even pay the school fees. They are just roaming about. And then you keep on telling me that when I come, I will do this when I come. But in the NDC era, they sold most of our factories. You understand? John Jokong Kufo continued. He did the same thing. Mama came, he did the same thing. Kufo came, he did the same thing. And you are coming back to tell me that I'm going to give you another factory. From where? We have one already. Instead of you reviving them, maybe bringing them back to life for the you to find a work to do, you did not just do that, and you rather sold it to the foreigners.
Which factories have been sold? I'll let you come there. But which factories? Yeah, let run us through some of them.
Oh, go to Sugar Factory, Commander Sugar Factory, which Mama and Atamos began. Alan Chamartin said, we've got about 85%, 15% to complete. Even the 50%, you couldn't add it. You give it to a decent investor. What is wrong with us?
But they haven't sold it.
But you give it to an investor.
The purpose was for, it was a management contract for them to manage it.
Manage,
that's why what? Those that
something doesn't even produce. What kind of management are you talking about?
To turn it around.
And now where is it now?
Productive.
Are we getting sugar?
But it doesn't mean it has been sold.
How many years?
I agree with it, it's not working. But it has not been sold. That's the thing.
Okay, now. I think you are one of the administrators. Now, you see, now, even if it has not been sold, what are we getting out of that?
Nothing.
I'm challenging Joy FM team.
Oh, we've done a documentary.
Just go.
There's nothing.
And let's see the monies that they give to the people, who are taking care of it. How much is it? Calculate it from the day that they collected, and what have we got out of that? That money is meaningful money that can be put into some places where we can get something.
I get it, yes.
But look at the situation. So these people, they don't have any management, any good management, as far as I'm concerned. And when you look at the way that they do their things, book knowledge will not help.
Okay.
You understand? You need to sit down and plan well. And know how to develop your country. As I came the other time, I came here, though it was a very short time. So that me, if I come, I would rather, the parliament that they are saying, the mama is saying that when we come, we open the parliament by this thing after the election. Look at the situation. Eh? An opposition determined the parliament opening to a ruling government. Because all of them are weak. Now, when you look at...
But he was on a campaign platform. He's saying that we'll open it that from the point where he's saying that, or the, his basis is that they will win majority and they would open it to...
What is he confirming straightforward and saying that? Because he has the authority to say, because he knows where he's speaking from.
Okay.
You understand? He know why he's saying that. And what he has said now, nothing can change it. Because his group of people too are there, and they are aware of it, and they are coming out to say that. So, me, if I come to power, if I have the chance to lead this country, all these parliamentarians, I will just drive them away.
You drive the parliamentarians?
I'm telling you, listen to me. I would rather give every region, a regional parliamentarian, 16 people will come to parliament. Generals will give me one. Farmers will bring one. Fishermen will bring one. Market women, this and that, those in those areas, you bring them into a chamber. See, people will be there. When a parliamentarian from every region goes to a region, a regional minister is there. He's able to cater for all the region. Why is that? We can't get one parliamentarian running through all the region. You see?
What you're saying means that you change the constitution because constitution makes
that's what I'm saying.
Makes provision for
that's
that.
That's what I'm saying. Because we need to just review the constitution, go into it, certain things that we need, Article 71 and those and do for, you have to remove them. You see, if I send it to them, maybe even if I get even one person in parliament, if I win an election, I get one person in parliament and they say they won't agree, I will send it to referendum. We are going to vote no or yes. The whole country are going to vote for that. So that we change that. Because you see, we are practicing democracy. But we cannot do as others are doing. We need to start from somewhere. We can't compete with others who are far, 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 far. I mean, we cannot continue. You create a small area. Abelempe here. You pick somebody. You go and sit there. You don't even talk throughout 4 years. You collect our money. You won't talk. You just go and sit down there. Holding mobile phone, chatting on phone, then it goes out. People, they need to be came out of this very parliament. There's no need for them to sit there just emptying the purse of this very country.
So that's for parliament. You work with 16 parliamentarians. What about ministers?
Ministers.
You say you work with 16 parliamentarians, right?
The ministers are going to determine where the agri-section, the mineral, the good thing that we have in the country, we have ministers on that. It is not any other thing that they are bringing up. They are just filling their people into the offices. Today, when you go to, like, Cocoa Board, about 16 or so executives. For what? And none of them have even planted cocoa before. They don't even know how we even dry cocoa. But because they belong to a party.
I'm sure of what you're saying.
Who?
I'm sure of what you're saying.
And it's true.
Because Dr. Buahinedu, who is the CEO,
He's a CEO of
cocoa board. He has cocoa farms.
He has cocoa farm because he came to be a cocoa board. That's why he bought some of the cocoa farm. He has never planted a cocoa before. Yes. So
you know that for sure.
Oh, definitely. If he's watching me, he's aware that when he came to the scene, that he was able to arrange to get some cocoa farm. Me myself sitting here, I have a palm plantation. I have a cocoa farm. I've not come to them because I was born and bred in a village over there. Then I know all these things. Even when I was about to even complete secondary school, based on the aggregate, 40% before I pass out. You need to cultivate cabbage, you need to cultivate onion, cultivate this pepper and the others. You see, but by the time you'll be out of school, you have little know-how.
So what is the leading theme for your campaign?
New Ghana.
New Ghana, okay.
New Ghana, that we need to change certain things. That's why I'm saying, when I come, if I get a chance to come to power, I'm praying that it's not good, it will not go to runoff, but rather I win.
Mm.
If I win, good. If I did not win, and perhaps I'm going to, for a runoff, any party that come on the table that we sit down, I'll tell them my mind straightforward. We need to go to Agric.
So you mean that if you're one of the two parties that are going for the runoff,
yeah,
is that what you mean?
Yeah.
What if you are not and you have to support someone? Which party will you support?
NDC and NPP, they are all criminals. They are just campaigning to just come to the scene to enrich themselves.
Okay.
And so me, I don't believe them.
Mm.
You understand?
Mm.
But if it gets to a period of time whereby you need to adapt to the system, you have to sit down. I'll put down my this thing, and you two will bring yours. Okay. If you accept me, I'll follow you.
Okay.
If you don't accept it, I want the shoe factory in Kumasi to revamped.
Okay.
A Kede matches factory for us to get matches because you continue to use matches.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Yeah.
When you go to Thai factory, where we have the raw materials already there, we need to bring them back. You see?
Bonsa
ties. Mm. Then a gold refinery.
Mm.
You need to refine gold. We have it over here.
Okay.
You see? All these things I'm going to put on the table. If you understand and you agree with me before I'll concur. If not, no way.
They've set up a gold refinery here in Accra.
Who set it up?
It was a partnership between government and I think as an
Indian a foreigner. Company.
Yeah.
You are saying Akufo-Addo is asleep. The refinery is there. The white man will take the gold and take it away. Are they going to agree to give it to a black man, a Ghanaian to manage it, or the white man is going to manage it?
Mm.
I don't believe in those partnerships and the others.
Okay.
You understand?
Right.
Mm. If I get a chance, all these foreigners who have got a chance to enter into gold mining sector and to food production, whereby, no, I'm not talking of agri section.
Mm.
I'm talking of maybe drinks and the others, and I'll drive them away.
Oh, really?
Oh, I'll drive them away. How can you come from your country, you come and take our good? I'm never going to support that.
We're in a global world.
Uh-huh. Global world and so what?
Mm.
So can you go to America and produce drinks for American people to drink?
If you satisfy their laws, you can.
Yeah. And what laws have been satisfied here? All this that they are using, giving to us, is sugar and the others. None of us are bothered to check it. And what people are dying. We need to come back to our senses and realize that these things that we need to put it across so that we can save our nation. We cannot continue to give all our factories and all the things that we have, and like our minerals, like bauxite, and they go to foreigner.
In the next 30 seconds, how will you tackle Galamsey? Because that's
definitely, I'm going to bring those people on board, those who I in Galamsey, those expert ones, I'm going to bring them both. Sit down, sit them down. They will identify and tell me that we were having Galamsey over here. This side, there was a goal there. I would rather take them, adopt their sense, and use it and mine it properly.
Mm.
But I will not going to drive them out of the scene. Nana Akufo-Addo and Co came, they drove them out, and they put their people there. Like, look at a chairman when Tumi came on the TV, displaying good. If I'm a president, That moment, it will not take 5 minutes for me to take the good from his house. You see, you cannot do that. What you were in your position, you didn't display any good. The moment that you came out to be, you come to be in power within 2016, you people want to cut me off. Wait for me. So I just want to tell Ghanaians that please vote GUM. Let GUM come to power. We are going to change the show. All these leaders, all them, this thing that they have massed up. I'm going to collect all from their hands. Even Akufo-Addo, where he's staying, he belongs to government. I'll drive him away.
Which one? His personal house?
Yeah, the place that he's staying.
One at Ima.
Master, the land belongs to Ghana.
Okay.
Yeah, let me tell you. When you go to police hospital, through the fire service, through police headquarters, through this embassy, France embassy, or what, there's an embassy there, through ADB, through GBC, and to Akufo-Addo's house, down to Paloma.
Okay.
All that very land, stretch of land belongs to government.
The government. Wow. Okay.
I have the documents.
Okay.
And I know what I'm talking about.
You sack him from there. All right. But tomorrow, I understand the presidential candidate will be signing a peace pact.
Yes.
You'll be there yourself. I'll sign it.
I'll go and sign.
Mm.
I'll go and sign. We just need to sign it for signing sake.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You are not sending any message out there that we should be peaceful with the with the park?
There is a for signing sake. Just a paperwork.
Okay.
You understand? You see, peace will come from us.
Okay.
It's not just the people that are going to indicate that they this and this and that. And if anybody is going to bring fight in this country, it will be MPP and NDC.
Okay.
They are the people that they keep on brewing horns of fight and fight.
So what will you tell them then?
I'm telling them that they are destroying our country. They are not serious. They should vamoose. Pack their things and go. Thank you very much.
When we return from the break, we'll talk about this peace pact that will be signed tomorrow by the various presidential candidates. And also talk about the possibility of Ghana losing the headquarters of WAEC. We understand WAEC says because of a certain factor that's working against them, they want to move the headquarters from Ghana to Nigeria. What is the real truth in this matter? We'll speak to WAEC here on The Pulse right after this. Well, welcome back from the break. And the intense campaign by the presidential candidate is expected to cool in the next few hours as they begin to converge in the capital, Accra, for the signing of the peace pact ahead of the polls in 10 days. Now, let's get to understand the plan for tomorrow. Joining us now is Reverend Dr. Ernest Edu Jemfi. He's chairman of the National Peace Council. Reverend, I'm grateful to you for joining us here. Now, a while ago, I spoke to Reverend Andrews Kwabena, who is the flag bearer for GUM. And he says he'll be there because it just was signing sick. And peace will come from the people, the act. How does the Peace Council intend to move it just from a signing, but to ensure that indeed the parties to this pact will really live up to expectation?
Thank you for having us this afternoon. I think that in the first place, the peace pact may appear to be just a document, but I think it also speaks to the conscience of the individuals who are signing on behalf of their parties to commit to a peaceful election and also to commit to deepen the democracy that we are embarking on as a country. And so even though they may see it as just an ordinary document, it is something that appeals to their conscience, appeals to them also to appeal to their members and their followers to commit to peaceful election so that we can all go through this process peacefully. I think that is basically the reason for signing this document.
Okay. So, I mean, if you listen to the NDC, when they decided not to sign the pact, they refer to what happened in 2020 when some people were killed. And they say, where was the Peace Council when that was happening? So what strategy or what measures is the Peace Council putting in place to ensure that what pertains on this pact really is what we will see during and after the elections?
Thank you very much. I think that initially when the NDC raised the concerns, they raised about six different issues. The council has worked through with them and also with the various institutions responsible to address these concerns that they have. And that is why we've been able to negotiate to bring them to the table at this moment. There are a lot of things that are done. If you look at, let's say, the Techiman case, there was a court case, there was adjudication, compensation was supposed to have been paid to the people, even though it didn't meet the threshold that made some people expected. But I think that's a step in the right direction. So we keep improving on our democracy. And I think that all these things that we're doing are gradually moving us to a place where we will all begin to understand the need for transparency in our electoral processes and also all commit to peaceful election. We should be able to go to the polls, cast our votes, and all of us can be happy at the end of the day. It takes time to build this kind of consensus, and our commitment as a peace council is to work through with the parties to bring consensus in negotiating for some of this.
Okay. So I mean, what is going to happen tomorrow?
Well, so far, we believe that all the parties will be there. We have commitments from all of them. We've sent them a copy of the pact for them to study. If they have any comments, to come back So far, we've not had any adverse reaction from any of the parties. And so right now, what we're doing is putting down application for the various logistics and the things that need to be done for the signing of the pact tomorrow.
Mm. And I guess that there are measures you've put in place to ensure that the parties go by what will be on the pact.
We hope so. I think the major issue is the concerns that they do have should be addressed. And the various institutions who are responsible, like the EC, the IGP, will be there and they will speak to the public. And we hope that some of the things they'll put out in the public domain will be convincing enough for all of us to have the peace of mind that we need to go to the police peacefully.
Mm. Sometimes you hear people talk about how binding this is on the political parties, that, yeah, they will sign it, but does it have any binding effect? I don't know if it has now.
You know, if you look at the 2020 elections, initially, there were all kinds of agitations, especially from the grassroots of the NDC. When it came to some of these issues, all we could do was to point them to what they had signed, that in the event that you disagree with anything, you go to the court. And so that was what we used to persuade the NDC to go to court.
Okay.
It may appear like an ordinary document, but there are issues that we commit to. And we believe that when the parties commit to these things, they will follow them. If I heard your previous speaker, you know, generally the minor parties or the minority parties don't have too much of a problem. And so that's why he could easily say, as for us, we went and signed. We are not the ones who create the problems.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the emphasis, the attention is more on the two major parties, NDC and NPP.
Mm-hmm.
But tomorrow we are having all the minor parties are all going to sign. We don't want to single out just the two. They are all in this together.
Mm-hmm.
And so we hope that all of them will commit to it and then will commit to the things that are in there.
Mm-hmm.
When we were able to persuade NDC the previous time, because we signed a document which says that in the case of dispute, we will take our issues to the court. We persuaded them, and I think it worked for us.
Mm.
So it looks like an ordinary paper, but at the end of the day, I think it has some moral persuasion.
Mm. Reverend, I'm grateful to you for joining us here on The Pulse. Reverend Dr. Ernest Edujefi is chairman of the National Peace Council. And, you know, if you just go online and open Google on your URL and type in WAEC, well, I would expect to see results related to examinations, WASI, BEC, etc. Unfortunately, though, the internet is awash with stories about government's indebtedness and WAEC's struggles to organize or release exam results due to lack of funds. The situation is now beginning to have a serious impact on us. And Joy News is learning that a council is seriously considering relocating the WAEC headquarters from Ghana to Nigeria over the challenges with funds. It will be a big blow if that where to happen. Let's get some reaction from WAEC itself. And John Kapi is the head of public affairs at WAEC. He's joining us now. I'm grateful to you, sir, for joining. First, is there confirmation and is it true that WAEC wants to leave to Nigeria?
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me. There hasn't been any discussion in this direction. So the law that established WAEC indicates that the headquarters of the WAEC will be situated here in Accra. And ever since, there has not been any change to that law. So I guess that we cannot confirm that. We have not had any such discussions, and there are no plans as such.
Mm. But what will instigate some people to call for a relocation?
Well, I cannot speak for the other people who may have made these statements.
Mm.
But then the truth is that we are going through some challenges as an office. And the same applies to the headquarters office that is situated at Topenglo here in Accra. And some people, some high-ranking personalities in our society have gotten to know these challenges. And so probably they are assuming that on the basis of these challenges, there could be the possibility of moving the headquarters from Accra to Lagos.
Mm, mm. How long have these challenges persisted? And if you give us specifics, what kind of challenges are we looking at?
Well, looking at the act that established WAEC, stationed the headquarters here in Accra, and the headquarters office is run by contributions from member countries. Now, there are certain parameters that are used to, apportion the amount of money to be paid by the member countries. So one of them is that they look at the representation of the country on the council's committees. Another is that they look at the candidature per year in the council's examinations. We also look at the audit and research departments and the, the expenditure that goes there. And finally, we also look at the subjects that the various countries subscribe to. So these are the things that come together to form the parameters by which countries are, charged amounts to be paid to the headquarters. Now, so with all these parameters I've mentioned, Nigeria being the largest of the five member country, takes between 55% and 60% of the total budget for the year. Ghana takes about between 24% and 26%. So that's just about a quarter of it. So the rest of it is taken by the three other countries of the West African Examinations Council. Now, if I may say something about the headquarters, as we speak, they have an outstanding bill of 73.462 million to be paid to them by the government of Ghana. They've been following up on this amount of money. And as we speak, I had a chat with the director of finance headquarters this afternoon when this story broke. And he tells me that up till now, no money has been released to them from the government yet. When you come to Accra office, we also have, or the Ghana office, we also have our challenges. As we speak, the WAS marking is ongoing. They are supposed to finish by Friday, 29th of November. But as we speak, we are unable to continue with the scanning of the objective answer cards because our machines are broken down. Now, we are unable to fix them because the technicians are unwilling to come and offer any services because we have still not paid for previous services offered, some of the examiners are, beginning to drag their feet because there doesn't seem to be any guarantee that when they are done with the marking, they will be paid promptly. And so these are challenges that we are seeing, and it is obvious that the date for the release of the WAS for school candidates 2022 results would not be met.
Interesting. What was the last time you got payment from government?
The last time was about a couple of weeks ago. There was an outstanding bill of 110.4 million. That is for 2024. We had a few others also from 2022, about 9.9 from 2022, and about 30.4 from 2023. Now, so if you put all of that together, we're hitting around 150.9 million Ghana cedis. Now, out of this, we were paid 15 million cedis a couple of weeks ago. And since then, we have not received any further payments from the government.
And is this for the Ghana office or the headquarters?
This is for the Ghana office. These are examination fees. If I may just add that WAEC is a non-profit-making establishment. So our main source of income is examination fees. Now, if the government has absorbed the fees of all these candidates, it presupposes that we would need to get all of this money from the government to be able to carry out our mandate. And so when these monies are not forthcoming, they truncate some of the activities that we have to carry out. And this does not allow us to work according to our time schedules and be able to meet our deadlines.
So those who are expecting to have their results should probably not keep their eyes on receiving it anytime soon.
It's unfortunate. We usually wouldn't want to cause any panic of this nature, but we cannot help it anymore because right now, as I speak, we have put the scanning of the objective test on hold. And this is a component of the paper. And so even if our examiners are able to finish marking the theory scripts by Friday, there's no guarantee that we can continue to process the results because the objective component wouldn't have been ready.
Mr. John Kapi, I'm grateful to you for your time. And he is head of public affairs at WAEC. And that's it for the pause here on Joy News. Thanks for your time. There's more news on myjoyonline.com. You see stories like your request to recall Parliament is declined, bugbear to Afenyo Maki, and other stories there on myjoyonline.com. So on behalf of the team, thanks so much for being a part of us. There will be another time for us to meet. Until then, please be good.